Welcome to Vegas Inc. Radio. I'm Dellen Goldberg, host of the show and business editor of Vegas Inc. and the Las Vegas Sun. Over the next half hour, we'll listen in on a conversation between Vegas Inc. reporter Eli Siegel and Tivoli Village president Patrick Doan. Doan was hired in 2007 to manage the project after spending the bulk of his career with Rouse Company, former owner of the Summerlin Master Planned Community. Before that, he was president of Olympia Development and director of gaming retail for the real estate brokerage firm now known as the CBRE Group. Tivoli Village was developed by EHB Companies and its partner Israeli conglomerate IDB Group. They built the high-end retail hub near Summerlin during the depths of the recession. The companies also built in 2007 One Queensridge Place, a complex of two 18-story condominium towers near Tivoli Village that today are more than 70% sold. Since then, they've unveiled plans for Las Vegas Renaissance, a 700,000-square-foot indoor mall across the street from Tivoli, and for a 200,000-square-foot retail center at the corner of West Sahara Avenue and South Hulapai Way, a few miles south of Tivoli. The Sahara Center is expected to open next year and Renaissance in 2015. Let's take a listen as Doan explains the wisdom in building during the recession.
It's an interesting story when you kind of track. You said you were looking at past press releases and the history of retail development here over the last few years in Vegas. Very interesting. It was probably 5 years ago. Tivoli Village, the complete project, was under construction. We're working three shifts a day. We had the lights on over the project.
It was a 24-hour
construction. And at the time, the full development was just over 500,000 square feet of retail space and over 200,000 square feet of office space. And we were building the entire project. And
instead of doing phases.
And of course, that was always the intent, always the plan. And then, of course, the famous day when Lehman filed and other things happened, Merrill, et cetera, the world changed. Right? And many developments in Las Vegas just stopped.
When did construction of Tivoli Village start?
I got to test my memory on that. I'd say 07. Early 07.
Doesn't have to be like the day. Just
yeah, and there was, the project is, it's interesting because a lot of our work is infrastructure. So a lot of our work happened below grade. All of our parking is below grade, but we're built on a wash. So we have.
I was going to say, what was here before?
Yeah, it was literally desert and a wash. So it was a natural wash where floodwaters would flow. So we had a great deal of resources put into the work below the parking to create channels, right, to guide the floodwaters when it rains. So that was part of the work that had to take place before the actual foundation was built for the project. So all of that was occurring. The below-grade parking was built, and the foundation was being built from the south side of the project to the north side. And then, when the economic storm hit, everybody stopped, and including, we didn't stop, we slowed down, but we slowed down dramatically.
Because what did you go to? You went from a 24-hour construction cycle to?
Well, you have to keep the general contractor engaged, otherwise you're done. So we kept working with reduced shifts on below grade and on the parking. And we actually had steel erected on the south side of the project at the time. And, believe me, the hair was turning gray the whole time, and all of us, because you really had to figure out what the solution was going to be. And we were strategizing about, one end of the spectrum is we just stop. We just,
That
was an idea being considered. The other
just
was
just a mothball, like the shops of Summerlin.
Like the shops of Summerlin, Echelon down on the Strip, like Fontainebleau.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, like a lot of projects had to do. And, the other option was, on the other end of the spectrum, was to continue to build and finish it and do 500,000 square feet of retail, 200,000 square feet. Office space.
Were those the original plans?
And so the original is 500, 200 approximately. Or the other option that we were considering was to phase the project and really determine what's the right amount of retail space and office space to put on the market in 2011, right, and projecting where the market's going to be at that time. You know, what's the right amount of space? And physically, what can we get done? What's right for the project? And really, when you do that, when you phase a project that's meant to be completed as one, you almost have to start over. You got to go back. You got to get approvals from the city related to circulation, you know, related to access. And it's a very complicated process. So, but at the end of the day, with those three options being considered, the option that we obviously ended up pursuing was the option of phasing the project. So putting the right amount of square footage on the market in 2011, which ended up being 225,000 square feet of retail space and about 140,000 square feet of office space.
That was phase one that opened in April of last year.
Phase one that opened in April. So that's the project that we see today. So during that time, that's what's built right now. During that time, we were also continuing to lay some of the foundation work for phase two. So we never stopped the work on phase two. So if you look at, we have time-lapse photos that take you through kind of where we've gone from 2011 to today. And you can see that our foundation work has, in concrete work and below grade work, has continued as we head to the north. So now all of our foundation work is complete for the second phase of the project. All of the below grade work is complete, and steel is actually being delivered to the site.
So for phase two, has vertical construction started?
We haven't started vertical construction of the steel, but the steel is being delivered to the site.
Okay. So you've got the foundation and utilities.
Foundation's in, and we have a great deal of money invested in the project to date, with the intent to continue and finish. The whole strategy was that, you know, the market's going to improve, and as the market improves, we'll have space that's on the market that can be absorbed, and that's exactly what has happened.
And again, for phase two, what's the square footage of retail and office that's coming in?
Well, we have about 275,000 square feet of retail space, and about 100,000 square feet of office space, less office space than we have in the first phase.
Mm-hmm. And where on the project site will phase two be built?
Yeah, it's to the north.
It's just the north of the existing?
Yeah, it's north. So there's a barricade right now that bifurcates the site.
Okay.
So on the other side of that barricade is where all the work has been taking place.
And will they look like two separate centers, or will they be kind of integrated together, and once it's built, you really won't know?
Completely integrated.
So totally.
So the design, and keep in mind, the original plan was to build the entire project at one time. So basically what we did was we stopped, we call them triads, A, B, and C. Same architecture, same materials, same stones, same streetscape, same landscaping plan all the way through the project. So that will be finished, and it's all continuous as one project. So what we have is we have an oval street that is in the center of the project that will handle vehicular traffic when the project is all done.
Is there one now, a street that goes?
Well, there is a street, but it's not an oval because the barricade separates the first phase from the second.
Okay.
So we can't allow vehicular traffic because we have to have emergency vehicle access only in case if there was an accident or a fire. So that was one of the quid pro quos of phasing the project that the city instituted.
Okay. Queens Ridge.
Yes.
Apparently, I'm told that there are, you know, there are condos involved.
Yes.
In Tivoli Village. Where are the, I'm a little confused on the details of that. Are those is that part of the development? Is that separate across the street by also being built by EHB? Or
so we have should have brought a plan, but we own the three corners. So the high rise across the street, mm-hmm, is the residential, that we own, that the EHB company.
Are those the two towers?
Two towers.
Okay.
So there's also a parcel adjacent to that where two more towers can be built. So the master plan, residential built on that corner, and then the land was taken down on where Tivoli sits today for the mixed-use development that is Tivoli. And then we, of course, have taken down the land that is Renaissance, mm-hmm. and that's across the street, across Alta.
Right.
So ultimately, the master plan is residential high-rise, One Queens Ridge Place.
That's
on the west side, yeah. And then to the east of that, on Alta and Rampart, is Tivoli Village, the mixed-use project. And then just to the south of that, across Alta, is Renaissance, which is an enclosed shopping center. So
right.
it will be distinct and separate from Tivoli, but connected via Skybridge.
Tivoli, okay.
But a different type of project physically from Tivoli.
Yeah. That's a 700,000 square foot project, Renaissance?
Correct.
When did the two condo towers open?
06. 06, maybe 07. Could have been 07. We'll check. But
yeah, we can check on the dates. Of
yeah.
Okay.
I think, I'm trying to remember, it may have been 07 by the time it was, by the time we got final CO.
Okay. And then also the specs on those, like how many floors, how many units do you have, all that?
Absolutely.
Somewhere? Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was the first, was that the first major project in this area by EHB?
There were other projects that have been completed by EHB companies, smaller in scope.
Okay.
Both retail and office. EHB companies originally started as a very large residential developer
okay.
in Las Vegas, and then the purview expanded, and the company kept developing residential, also developing commercial developments. And one of the principals of the company, truly a visionary, and his vision.
Is that Johan?
Johan.
Yeah, I've heard of that. What's his full name?
Johan Lowy. It's his last name. Lowye. So
it's
so
like Johan, is that with a J or Y?
Y.
It's a Y, yeah. So he's the visionary that in his mind he sees these things.
Okay.
He saw the towers. And he literally sees how the stone works
right.
on the buildings. He sees how it all lays out, what type of stone it is. And then he articulates that to the blue line drawings. And then we build it. But he saw that for Tivoli. He saw that for One Queens Ridge Place. And he sees that today in Renaissance across the street. It's fascinating.
Did EHB build Boca Park too?
No.
That's not? Okay.
No.
For some reason I thought that you guys had done that one.
No.
Okay.
No, that was 555.
Developed
Boca Park.
Okay. Are they still around?
Canadian based.
Okay.
And you can do a little homework on them. They had some tough times during the storm.
Yeah.
In fact, the land we acquired for Renaissance was actually at one point in time owned by 555.
Oh, really?
And then we bought it out of receivership.
Oh yeah.
We also purchased land on the northwest side of Las Vegas. Which at one point in time was the Great Mall of Las Vegas site, which was also a 555 development.
Okay.
The one into receivership
yeah.
that we then purchased the land.
Yeah. Where is that land exactly? Do you know?
I'll send you the address so that you can see it.
We have a press release on that.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Yeah.
It's been a couple of years.
Is it still undeveloped?
It's their surrounding development, but it's still undeveloped.
Okay.
It has some infrastructure and some
yeah.
roads and some water lines, etc., but there's no steel that's erected.
Okay.
You're listening to Vegas Inc. Radio, part of Waking Up with the Sun. We are here every Monday at 7 a.m. on KUNV 91.5 The Source. I'm your host, Dellen Goldsberg, business editor of Vegas Inc. and the Las Vegas Sun. And we're listening to an interview between Eli Siegel and Tivoli Village President Patrick Doan.
For the Queens Ridge condos, one of the things my editor wanted me to ask, the Queens Ridge, what's the occupancy there?
The project was sold through to 70% when the storm hit, when the economic storm.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I'm guessing, and I'll get you the number, but I think probably... it's close to 73%
sold. And those are still for sale condos. You're not. Are you renting units?
No.
You're sticking with for sale.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Now some of the owners of the units.
Right. They make the right thing.
Could lease, yeah. But yeah, we sell.
That was one of the first things I noticed when I moved here. All the projects that used to be condos or that were built as condos that are now apartments. And in San Jose, there's really only one major project I can think of that where it was converted like that, and it was a high rise in downtown. But that was it. I mean, you didn't really see that very much. And here, it's like all over the place. I'm living in a complex right now down in Henderson that was built as condos, but now they're renting them for next to nothing because four of them sold. Or so it's just
we're doing it. We're living in we had a house that was in a neighborhood called The Ridges. We sold that in January. And we moved to, because our kids are all gone, and our youngster went off to college this year, so we moved to a complex called Miravilla, which is right behind J.W. Marriott, close to Tivoli, right on Canyon Run. And it's interesting, because a lot of these projects went into 11, went into receivership, bank took ownership, other development companies came in and bought them good prices, and converted. Miravilla did the same thing, so they converted to for rent. But what they're doing is, it's kind of like it's different from Tivoli, but it's similar in that they're phasing the development. So instead of building all of the project at once, they've built about half of it, and they have I think half of those buildings are for sale, and the other half they're leasing to drive some cash flow.
Yeah.
While they're waiting to sell, we just got notice that our building is going to be, they're going to be selling the units via a year's lease. So it's just, again, it's like waiting for the market to improve. And, so you can sell it or, for us, lease the space, at rates that make sense and creating a merchandising mix that is something that the market's calling out for.
Yeah. Okay, so here's some, actually you've already answered a number of the questions I already had. One of them was construction timeline. And there's only two phases, right, for Tivoli Village?
That's correct.
Those two. Okay. And when do you expect to start construction on the second phase?
It already started. So remember, infrastructure, below grade work. So the question would be, when do we anticipate steel to be erected? Which should happen soon, within the next couple of months.
When do you expect it to open, to be fully?
End of 13.
Okay.
And we gotta go. we gotta get hopping.
Yeah.
And it's I could spend 2 hours talking about the intricacies of lease negotiations.
Yeah.
But lease negotiations play an important part with the opening dates and making sure that you create the occupancy you need for the opening dates. So certain tenants demand a holiday of 13 opening. But at the same time, you have to make sure you're creating an occupancy where everybody is satisfied at the end of the day. So we've been telling the retailers, and we're committed to that 13-day, and we're going.
What does that mean? When you say 13-day?
The 2013 opening day. Yeah. So we're going.
That kind of leads in one of the questions I had is, what is the vacancy rate here right now at Tivoli Village, and then also how many tenants have you lined up, or are you making progress lining up tenants for phase two?
Right. So we have, currently we're at about 75% occupancy in the project with the leases that we have.
That's office and retail?
That's retail.
That's
so office about 68%. We have a law firm.
Occupancy.
We have a law firm that's going to be signing shortly, literally within the week. That's quite large. We just got another executed lease. And we'll be at about 82% before the end of the year.
You're talking about office?
Office.
Okay.
And then retail.
You expect that to stay the same, or?
Yeah, it'll improve. I mean, we'll continue to, we have space on the fourth floor. The second floor is leased of 17. The third floor is leased. We have about half a floor on the fourth floor of 17. The law firm's taking 3/4 of the second floor of building 10, so we have half the floor of building 10. Third floor is Merrill Lynch, fourth floor is Colstar.
Merrill Lynch?
Yeah, really? Merrill Lynch Wealth Management has a full floor.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So I think by the end of the year we'll be at 90%. So very stable.
Retail occupancy?
No, office occupancy.
Or office.
And then retail, not that I'm trying to confuse you, I'm confusing myself. So retail would be at 85% by the end of the year.
Okay.
You know, with Cantina Laredo opening, press release announced, some of the other stores have come over, Brighton Collectibles, et cetera. And, I mean, the game for us is to create a merchandising mix that is compelling for the market, right? So we're not a traditionally anchored shopping center.
Right.
So we don't have...
It's more of a lifestyle center than anything, yeah.
It's a lifestyle center. The retail portion of it, we call it mixed use because of the office, but it is, you know, from a retail perspective, it really lays out like a lifestyle center. So typically, lifestyle centers have a larger percentage of the GLA that's dedicated to restaurant space. So you'll see, you know, we have, at the end of the day, we'll have 25 to 30% of our total GLA will be dedicated to restaurant space. Drives traffic on a per square foot basis. Our sales are typically stronger, and it drives evening business, which is good for retailers. So that was always part of the strategy, and that's our direction. Cantina Laredo, it's probably on the press release, is going to be opening this year. So they're under construction, and that's an important tenant for us. You know, we have Brio Bottles and Burgers, Cantina Laredo opening, and then Kabuki, which is opening. We got, you know, to augment the restaurant business, we have entertainment uses, you know, kind of drives the day part further into the evening.
Yeah.
So we have a cigar bar, whiskey bar that's going to be opening.
Yeah, I saw that in the press release.
And, you know, it's tricky. It's retail during the day, it's office driven lunch business, it's resident driven dinner business. And it's evening-driven business by bars and food and beverage to support the retail.
I just want to talk maybe about, just generally about the retail market right now, you know. When I talk to brokers, one of the things I hear is the perks and incentives that are being offered to retail tenants, because everyone's trying to get tenants right now. I mean, I think the retail vacancy rate last I saw was like 11% valley-wide. I don't remember what it was in Northwest, but 11%, which is, you know, way up obviously from like 2007-2008, but not as bad as the office market, but but what kind of incentives have you been offering to get tenants in? I mean, some of the things that I'm hearing it's not really apples to apples comparison, because what I'm hearing a lot mostly about are like strip malls, you know, or big shopping centers. You know, they're offering like 6 to 8 months free rent if they sign a 6-year lease or something like that. You know, what are you doing to get tenants in, and are you finding that it is a challenge to get tenants even to a you know, really, you know, sharp looking, really high quality development like Tivoli Village?
That's a long question.
I know.
So I'm going to give you a long answer.
That's fine.
Different product types have different economic deals associated with them. So by way of example, there's a lot of product out there in Las Vegas at a strip center oriented that has some pretty high vacancy rate. You would see the incentives given to retailers just being, you know, you could see 12 months of free rent on a 5-year term. For a strip center. You could see a TI member that literally would build the space out for a retailer. And what you're hoping for is a renewal where, you know, the rates are better. You're not given the TI dollars and you don't have the free rent component with those type of deals. There's a lot of product like that out in Las Vegas, especially in some of the suburban areas or the areas of town that are older, you know, that don't have the quality of demographic to support the project. Some of the big box centers, which is a different type of center, if they've been hit with some vacancy, you know, if a bookstore went out, if you know, electronics store went out, if a sporting goods store went out, it's tough to release a space. You know, there's not a lot of boxes out there to replace those type of vacancies. So you see some of those product types that are sitting vacant, and you know, the incentives for those type of boxes, the same as I mentioned before, significant amount of free rent, huge TIs. To create the occupancy, if you can find the tenant, if there is demand for that type of use. The third piece is enclosed shopping center, mixed-use lifestyle, which is more what we are. And demand for that type of product is typically greater.
That strip center?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no question. I mean, it's just strip centers are more numerous, and the quality of the co-tenancy in those type of products is not as good, frankly, if I can be blunt. So you're talking to a universe of tenants that might be a little more narrow. So maybe it's more of a local, regional focus for those type of developments. So when you're looking at, if you're looking at a super regional shopping center or a regional shopping center, let's use, you could use Town Square, you could use Meadows as an example, you could use Tivoli Village as an example. You're really talking to a different universe of tenants than the other two product types that I explained before. So are we giving more incentives than we were 3 or 4 years ago? Yes. Do the deals still have to make sense at the end of the day? Absolutely. And if they don't, we won't do them, because we still have, we're a very large company. We're return-driven, and the deals have to make economic sense. Are there free rent components to some of the retail deals that we're doing? Some of them. Are there more TI dollars given today than there were 3 or 4 years ago? Without question. It is clearly a tenant-driven market. No matter what category of retail you're talking about, it's a tenant-driven market. And, it's not as easy being a landlord today as it was 4 or 5 years ago. However, the pendulum will swing, and the pendulum is starting to swing back. We're seeing open buys, which is a term that retailers use for store openings.
Was it called, sir?
Open to buys. Open to buys. And that's what retail, really, it refers to product that they have to buy for store openings. So they create openings to buy in their schedules. So a lot of national tenants are creating more open to buys in 2012 and 2013 and 2014. And I will tell you that, when we were in the throes of the storm, many retailers stopped expanding, and they were being rewarded by Wall Street for doing so, which flies in the face of conventional wisdom, because if you're not opening stores, you're not driving earnings.
Can you explain again what open to buys is? I'm still a little confused.
Yeah, so open to buys is really just it's a retailer term that is used where you're referring to number of stores that are going to be open in any given year. So you could see Victoria's Secret last year, and I'm making this up, Victoria's Secret could have had 15 open to buys across the country.
That doesn't mean a new store, it just means...
No, it's a new store.
It doesn't
open to buys are new stores.
Okay.
And then this year, Victoria's Secret could have 25 open to buys, keeping in mind that Victoria's Secret pre-storm probably had 100 open to buys.
So each year.
And then, and they do it by year. So, the real estate committee, if you're going in to get approved by a national real estate committee, typically you have to have your deal approved. It's about a year, it's about 12 to 16 months prior to that store opening. So, because they have to sign the lease, they have to build the store, they have to buy the product, they have to staff the store, and it's very time consuming. So negotiating a lease can take 6 months.
That was an interview between Tivoli Village President Patrick Doan and Vegas Inc. reporter Eli Siegel, in which Doan talks about the future of Tivoli Village and other projects by the same developers. This is Vegas Inc. Radio, part of Waking Up with the Sun. I'm your host, Dellen Goldberg, business editor of Vegas Inc. Thanks to Steven Zeller, our producer, and the KUNV team. And thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your day.